Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you that you sent your Son into this world. And Lord, we thank you that he willfully and obediently chose the cross on our behalf so that we would have your love, your forgiveness, and promise of eternal salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I brought something this morning, something exciting. I want to show it to you. How about that? A vacuum, a used vacuum. It's an average, ordinary vacuum. It's our vacuum from our house. You can get it at Walmart, not too expensive, also not too cheap. So let's imagine you have this vacuum, and you use it for 1 year, and it serves you really well. It cleans your carpet. It does exactly what it's intended to do, what you paid for it to do. Then year two, it stops working. You plug it in, you hear the engine, you hear the whirring, you know something's going on there, you know you have power, but the brush on the front doesn't turn. Tell me you've been there, right? Now, what are you likely to do with that vacuum? It's not a $500 Dyson that you have to get a mortgage on. It's an ordinary vacuum. What are you likely to do? Throw it away, right? You figured, well, it wasn't that expensive. I got my useful life out of it. Time to get rid of it. And then you go back to a Walmart or an Amazon or something or whatever, and you get a different vacuum. You get a new vacuum. Now let's travel back 40-something years. You might take that to a vacuum repair shop. Remember those? Remember TV repair shops? Microwave repair shops? Even computer repair shops? Back in the day, we used to take things that we owned and we try to fix them and repair them, but it's different today. Today, we're in a throwaway culture. When things don't work, we just throw them away. When they don't function as they are intended to function by what we've paid for them to do, we get rid of them. We buy something new. Now, for better or for worse, that's just kind of the culture that we're in today. But this throwaway mentality, it doesn't stay with just material items. Oftentimes, this throwaway mentality leaks into our relationships with each other. When there's a disagreement, when there's fighting in some way, when two people just don't align for whatever reason, a lot of times that throwaway mentality gets in there and those two people just end the relationship. They throw each other out, they just get rid of it, and they move on to something new. It's sad, it's unfortunate, and in some circumstances, it's tragic. But it is what it is, and it's almost gotten to the point where we kind of expect it to happen. But what about the relationship between creator and creation? What about the relationship between the creator God and his created man, the one he created in his own image? Your relationship with God, your relationship, the relationship between you and God, your creator and you as his creation, is that a throwaway relationship? Let's go back to the time of creation. God created man. God breathed life into Adam and Eve, the very first of our species. In fact, every single human creature created, that's ever been created, since the time of Adam, including both you and me, have come from just one creator, God. All life comes from God Almighty. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, as we just heard in the hymn earlier. And here's the thing about those created human beings. They're all broken. Every human being that followed Adam and Eve has been broken, including you and me. I am broken. You are broken. We are broken by the sinful nature that we inherited from Adam, what we got from him. We're also broken by our willful choosing. Day in and day out, we get to choose thought, word, and deed. And there is sufficient evidence to show that we are broken. Intended by the Creator for good, but broken by sin. Now, when God created all things, he said it was good. He looked at it and said, it is good. And then sin came into the world through the disobedience of two people, and as a result, creation and all human creatures that inhabit creation are broken. So you'd expect, if God operated under this throwaway mentality that we operate under today, you would expect that God would look at my life and look at your life and go, yep, that one's broken. Let's get rid of it. Start from scratch. But God doesn't do that, does he? God didn't choose to throw you away even though you are broken. God didn't choose to throw me away even though I am broken. No, God went in the complete opposite direction. Not only did he choose to save us, to keep us, to not throw us away, he chose to restore us. God chose to make you new. Now, hopefully you were listening carefully earlier. I was kind of disappointed I didn't see some people scowl at what I said. I said, every human being that followed Adam and Eve has been broken. How many of you thought, blasphemy? Right? Hopefully that caught your ear and you thought, wait a minute. Did he really just say every human being since Adam and Eve has been broken? That's not true, is it? There's one. There's one human being, flesh and bones, that's existed in this world. Since human creatures have existed, there has been one, and his name is Jesus. Jesus. Fully human. Flesh and bones. Joy, sorrow, aggravation, frustration. He's felt all those things that we feel, fully human, yet fully divine. God in the flesh. Fully human, yet fully divine. Fully human, yet fully and completely without sin. Yes, he was tempted, but not once did Jesus become subject to sin. Yeah, the people around him, people that followed him, the people that listened to him, the people that ate with him, the people that traveled with him, they were broken. They had sin. But Jesus was not and is not broken. And it's because of Jesus that God chose not to throw you and me away. It's because of what he did for you and me. Now, our Lord Jesus, he spoke some beautiful words in this John's gospel that we heard this morning. He said things like, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He said, you are my friends. I call you friend. Those are comforting words. But I want to focus on one verse. Verse 16. I want to focus on this one verse that said, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. You did not choose me, but I chose you. The Lord Jesus chose you. And here's what I think really drives forward the significance of this. Let's go back to the beginning of John's gospel. The very beginning. Y'all know where I'm headed. John 1:1. It's probably already running in your head, right? John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we know this Word is speaking of Jesus. The word used here is Jesus, which means that Jesus, our Lord Jesus, our Savior, was in place at the time of creation in the beginning, which means that God loved you in the beginning. Jesus, your Savior, was in place, the second person of the Trinity at that time of creation. He was there thousands and thousands of years before you were going to take your first breath. He was there. At the time of creation, God had you in mind. At the time of creation, God already loved you. See, God didn't just wait till you came into the world and then looked at you and said, yeah, I'll keep that one. No. God chose you to save you from sin and certain death way before you stepped into this world. At the time of creation, God knew that one day, thousands of years later, you would come into this life and you would need to be saved. And so Jesus was there. Time of creation. So that you and I, broken as we are, would be saved by him. He chose you. Give that some thought for just a second. The creator of the whole world, the creator of everything beautiful in this world that we are blessed to live in, the creator that put the sun, the moon, and then a couple weeks ago, aligned those two sun and moon just perfectly to where it blacked out at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. That creator chose you. Even though you are broken by sin, God still looks at you every single day and says, I love you. Even though you are broken by sin, every time you turn to the Lord and you confess those sins, God says to you with complete sincerity and truth, I forgive you. And he does all of that because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Because of his death and his resurrection. That is why God loves you. Now, our God, he is not a throwaway God. Our God doesn't prescribe to this idea that, well, that one's broken, let's get rid of it, let's start over from scratch, let's get a brand new batch in here. That one's not worth it. Our God doesn't operate like that. Our God is a God of redemption, of renewal. Our God takes broken things and he restores them. Our God is all about bringing fully broken creatures like me and you into new life in Christ Jesus. So what do we do with this wonderful news? What do we do with this great joy that we have? We do what Jesus said to do. We abide in him and we bear good fruit. We find rest, we find peace, we find joy, and we find hope in this truth from God that we are loved, forgiven, and chosen. And then we go bear good fruit. That simple. Rest in the Lord. Our salvation is secure. We don't have to worry about it. And then go out and serve him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of love and salvation that you absolutely shower upon us through your Son, Jesus. We are not worthy. We do not deserve it. But yet you provide it. And you've been thinking about us since the time of creation. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your persistence. And Lord God, we look forward to the day where we will see you one day face to face. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.